A very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, a pleasure to have your company on a Friday evening. What have we got? How about a bit of Joe Venuti? Haven't had much violin for a while, have we? Phil Kelsall at the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. Stand back. A Pops concert with Paul Whiteman. But first off, let's get acquainted. Good a way as any to get going, I think. Well, I'd hope you agree in any case. Let's get acquainted. Well, we are already, to a large degree, aren't we? Regulars all round, wherever you might be in the world. Harry Hayes and the band to start us off this evening. Harry Hayes, born in 1908, was an alto man, alto sax player, and played in lots of the top pre-war groups and made history. So it seems, now I didn't know this, but I do now that I looked it up, in 1941 by performing for three different bands, George Evans, Geraldo and Johnny Clace, during the same International Jazz Jamboree. Now that's rock and roll. Well, it's not. It's jazz, isn't it? Formed his own recording group in mid-40s, 1945, played at quite a few of the well-known West End venues in London during the next few years, and then joined Ambrose. But after losing top spot to one Johnny Dankworth, yes, young kid on the block in those days, John Dankworth in the Melody Maker top saxophone player poll in 1949, he decided, well, that's enough as a musician maybe, and left to concentrate mainly on his music and record shops. And then later reformed his band in late 50s and early 60s, played at the Haymarket and also Winston's Club in Bond Street. Not there anymore, don't bother looking for it. But yes, imagine being usurped by Johnny Dankworth and thinking, well, I'll just go back to selling records now. Often the case with a lot of these boys. How are we all in any case? Gearing up for the TT, no doubt. Or maybe you've just run away and you're already on a beach somewhere waiting for it all to finish. It's a Marmite thing, isn't it, the TT on the Isle of Man? People love it and embrace it and think it's the best 2 weeks of the year, or they can't stand the noise and the hassle and the danger and all the people and the inconvenience and the road closures, and so disappear to see friends, family, or go on an exotic holiday or a holiday to a quiet part of the world, perhaps up in the north of Scotland or down in Cornwall, I don't know, wherever, to get it away for all and then come back afterwards. Wherever you are, enjoy the TT period, whether you embrace the bikes or not, and let's hope it's a safe one and a sunny one. The sun doesn't come out, then nothing really happens anyway, does it? All sorts this evening going on. Like, I found a couple of discs gathering dust, not upstairs where they should be, but sort of in the corner of my desk. Shows what sort of desk I've got. Amongst them, one from our friend's avid Fred Astaire, four classic albums. And I thought, gosh, well, we've got to give that a spin, haven't we? So, well, isn't this a lovely day?
The weather is frightening, the thunder and lightning seem to be having their way. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. The turn in the weather will keep us together, so I can honestly say that as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. And everything's okay. Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You were going on your way, now you've got to remain. Just as you were going, leaving me all at sea. The clouds broke, they broke, and oh, what a break for me. Oh, I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in a storm. I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm. Let the rain pitter-patter, 'cause it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. Mm-hmm. see some sun up high. Though we're caught in the storm. Yeah. And I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm. Now let the rain pitter-patter, because it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Just as long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
Well, we've had a few lovely days of late, albeit still a little bit on the chilly side. The immortal Fred Astaire, of course, what a voice, and how close mic'd was that? It sounds like he's really right here, doesn't he? It's all really, really close in. And very dry, no reverb or anything, so he's way up front in the mix. Interesting sort of take that, it sort of leaps out at you. A little dry, perhaps, I don't know, maybe it's a sort of an odd mix, a very distinctive mix, but an odd one. However, done by the legendary Norman Granz, yes, he of jazz at the Philharmonic fame, and this collection of four classic albums on the Avid Jazz label, they're all basically the Fred Astaire story. The Fred Astaire story, first volume, second volume, and, well, you get the gist, third and fourth. So that was straight from the top of the first volume, recorded 1952 in Los Angeles. Fred on vocals, there's some tap dancing on some tracks as well. Barney Kessel guitar, Oscar Peterson piano. He also plays Celesta, the, you know, that like glockenspiel type instrument. Ray Brown bass, Flip Phillips on tenor we heard there. Charlie Shavers trumpet, Alvin Stoller at the drums. An absolutely top-notch rhythm team and backing team for Fred there. And a labour of love, Norman Granz says in the notes. Or putting together, he'd always been a fan, and of course he was doing his Fred, I suppose, seen as a singer and dancer and from the music world, or at least from the, I guess, show world rather than a jazzer. Norman Granz doing all this jazz at the Philharmonic and a jazz promoter, and he just liked the idea of recording Fred in the same sort of way. He says, I did some research on Mr. Fred Astaire. He had some music written for him and introduced more songs that become all-time hits than almost any other living artist. I've been an admirer for years, so I think of a few million other people. And I'm not sure whether it was his dancing or his singing or perhaps his clothes or the way he wore them. And he says, I think really he wasn't so much a dancer as a very graceful walker. And his grace is his God-given kind that transcends ordinary hoofing. Well, yeah, you're right there. But whatever it was, there was something about Mr. Astaire that made him everybody's boy. So this is the reason I had for doing this album. It was the love of his music and the man himself. And it was to decide how I was going to do it, song or dance. He's very rhythmic, and as my jazz people put it, he swings. Well, he did, didn't he? And to paraphrase the jazz people further, Norman goes on, Mr. Astaire is a hip fellow. Hip, that is, in a most understanding way. It followed, therefore, we should treat this project in a jazz sense, and that's what we did. I selected the best men I could from my jazz at the Philharmonic Concert Group who had an affinity and appreciation for what Mr. Astaire does. And we did all the recording in the true jazz tradition, improvising as we went along. I'll keep that one in the bag, because I think there's lots more to dip into there. Sort of Fred Astaire with a great jazz group. And I don't know whether the miking's like that all the way through. I must admit, I literally have blown the dust off and played that for the first time. So hope you enjoyed it. I did, actually. So we'll come back to that and do a little bit more. Also, when I was uncovering some discs in the hidden corners of my desk, don't ask, there's quite a few of them, I came across this one, much closer to home, Mind the Swing, the Hot Club Swing Quartet of the Isle of Man, featuring none other than a gentleman who popped into the office only the other day, which made me think about it, Marcus Tullius Maximus, formerly of this station. And here he is to introduce It Don't Mean a Thing.
A one, two, a one, two, three. Thank you.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah. It don't mean a thing, all you got to do is sing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that crazy rhythm everything you've got. It don't mean a thing, all you've got to do is sing. Do-ah, 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 do-ah.
Two violinists for the price of one, both equally good in different ways. One possibly a tad more famous than the other, but only a tad, I would say. Either way, both very good indeed. Great fun, wasn't it? First off, Mind the Swing was the album, with the Hot Club Swing Quartet, not of Paris, but of, Balasala, I think, basically. Gypsy jazz and classic swing from the Isle of Man, from the Hot Club Swing Quartet, who are Dickie Best, guitar and vocal, Pete Christian on bass, Brian Myers, violin, and Marcus Tilius Maximus, Mark Tiley, of Max Radio fame, on guitars and vocals as well. Recorded, I'm told, live at Ballygroove Studios, Balasala, on the 29th of June, 2018, the hottest day of the year in the Isle of Man. If not ever, I don't know. It was a hot day, though. We could do with a few more of those, couldn't we? Great fun, great album, that. I was gifted that, I think, by Marcus Tilius some time back, and I have played it before here on Sweet and Swing, but we haven't featured it for a while, and it's been sort of sitting in the desk, and then it's got a bit buried. So I thought, oh, to give it another play. And I love the CD as well, because it's made out to look like a 45 or perhaps a 78 in black with all the grooves on. Very well done, beautifully presented. I like that one. Good fun. We'll keep that, and we'll go back to that now that we've rediscovered it again. And then after that, we had Wolf's Wobble. Great name for a track, isn't it? Joe Venuti, the famous violinist back from the early days of jazz, of course, one of the perhaps most famous of the first generation of white jazzmen and one of the most prolific of the early jazz recording artists. Born, he was a Joe, he was Giuseppe Joe Venuti, so he didn't change his name like a lot of these people did, to Italian immigrant parents in Philadelphia in 1903 and grew up there. And then later on, he met his guitarist Eddie Lang, also known as Blind Willie Dunn, second generation Italian as well, hailed from a similar family background, and began his musical training with 11 years on the violin before switching over to banjo and guitar as the instigation, I'm told, of his guitar playing instrument maker father, talented man. And the two young musicians formed a friendship together, which went on to become quite a partnership. And then by the 1920s, Venuti moved permanently to New York and played with Roger Wolf Kahn, hence the Wolf Wobble, and was regularly in ensembles featuring a lot of the leading players of the day, in white bands, of course. I don't think there was much in the way of mixed bands going on in those days, sadly. But Frankie Signorelli, Frankie Trumba, Benny Goodman, Jack Teagarden. Well, yeah, the list goes on. Great player. And he looks, the pictures on this collection from Naxos Jazz Legends, you look at the front of him playing, and he looks, he bears more than a passing resemblance to the comedian Bob Hope. Never noticed that before, but on those particular, you think, is it Bob Hope playing the violin? Nope, Joe Venuti. Wonderful. Great stuff. It is Jumping, it's not Jumping In, it's Sweet and Swing. Jumping In's next week. Oh, I can't do with these alternating programmes. I'm recording Jumping In later on with Brother Chris. However, this evening, it is Sweet and Swing with myself, H. Don't get too alarmed. If you've never tried Jumping In, though, give it a whiz. You know, it is modern, and some of it you won't like, I grant you that. But some of it you might. And who knows where some of these great players would have gone. Duke Ellington would have embraced an awful lot of the modernism. He already was before he passed away. Joe Venuti, I think, would have done. Bud Powell and, you know, a lot of these players. Artie Shaw would have been right in with a sort of a more modernist movement. And they just were always pushing the envelope a little bit during their day. I don't know whether Louis Jordan was pushing the envelope and much, but great music. We've been enjoying dipping into these ones. Five classic albums from Avid. And here's Mama, Mama Blues.
For no diamond ring. Mama, mama, don't you beg your daddy for no diamond ring. 'Cause mama, you already got the best of everything. I seen you riding around in a brand new car. I seen you riding around, baby, in a brand new car. I know you couldn't buy it, sitting on your caviar. Now your bracelets, your furs, and that Paris label, they're laying right there, laying on the table. They'll come hop, skipping, jumping, long as you're able. Go get me some money, baby, and lay it on the table. Now get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, woman. Get up off your big, fat, rusty, dusty. Ah! Don't you hear me? Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, mama. Get up off your big, fat, rusty, dusty. Mm. Get up, mama. Get up before it get too rusty. Now you got the very best, the best of everything. And baby, you know how to do everything. You even got that champagne taste. But I'm so afraid, mama, ooh, you letting it go to waste.
Great stuff. Great blues sound from Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, recorded somewhere. It's all very vague, bearing in mind this is a classic collection of Louis Jordan albums. And this is, like I said, from our friends at Avid again. However, the notes are, well, skimpy, to say the least. Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, no sleeve notes available. Recorded between 1945 and 1955. 10-year gap. It's not even sort of, oh, could be 45, 46. Could be 45. Could be 54. Could be 52. I mean, that's a big gap, isn't it? And the personnel, Louis Jordan, yeah, we got that, vocals and alto sax, other musicians, unknown. You'd have thought someone would have written on the tape box somewhere, wouldn't you, who was playing, for heaven's sake. They probably did, and they'd probably been lost. But surprising for someone of that well-known Louis Jordan. I know he was prolific, but gosh, there are details on some of the other albums. So again, you get the likes of, you know, Freddie Simon on tenor sax, or Idris Suleiman and Leonard Graham on trumpets and such like, Al Morgan on bass, but I don't know whether they'll be the same musicians or not. And clearly, the compiler of Avid didn't know either, so make your own mind up. If you're a Louis Jordan expert, you'll probably know. If not, hopefully you enjoyed the music in any case. Mama, Mama Blues. Happily, we do know exactly who this next musician is, because it's just the great Phil Kelsall at the Wurlitzer organ of the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. Firmly into the sweet category of sweet and swing. Here he is with a bit of a workout for the fingers.
Thank you.
Ta-da! Wonderful stuff. Phil Kelsler at the Wurlitzer Organ of the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. My word, I haven't been there for quite a few years. Still going strong, as far as I'm aware. I've seen Blackpool featured on the news several times. I think Look North West, and they've been doing post-election or pre-election sort of vox pops around there. And I've seen the Blackpool Tower featured twice, not the ballroom. But the tower has been featured recently on TV. It made me think about Blackpool and how long since I've been there. I used to go there regularly with my parents when I was a kid. And memories I have of riding on the trams, particularly the tram bedecked as a space rocket in all the lights, complete with astronauts at the front, better than any Disneyland or Disney World, in my humble opinion. Dad always used to say, the old maestro, wish I could have taken you to Disney World. And I thought, you didn't need to. You took me to Blackpool Illuminations in their heyday in the 60s. And those memories are still as vivid as ever and as magic as ever going along there. And being terrified by the clown at the Pleasure Beach, eating candy floss, seeing the illuminations on Blackpool seafront, absolute magic. And, of course, going in up the tower and into the ballroom at the bottom and hearing the Wurlitzer. Some time since I've been to Blackpool, a good 30 years or more, I would think, since I was last there. Has it changed? I don't know. I was going to tell you what the track was. Unfortunately, as is sometimes the case with a lot of this music which I rescued from Music Man Towers, when he moved on to Bandstands New. It is Phil Kelsell, and that was indeed the Wurlitzer at Blackpool. However, not the CD in the box. So the CD in the box is Memories Are Made of This, and the CD we just heard is totally separate. So that was not, as I thought it was going to be, a windmill in Old Amsterdam. If you didn't know what the track was, the wonderful one with the finger bending at the beginning, let me know. Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. I must admit, I didn't recognise it. But you might well have done, so drop me a line, Howard Kane at MaxRadio.com or a postcard or whatever. Howard Kane, Manx Radio, Sweet and Swing, of course. Manx Radio Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas in the Isle of Man, IM15BW. Be lovely to hear from you. Lovely to hear any requests as well. Anything you might like to hear, anything you'd like featured. And again, if you're listening via the old web, in some far-flung place, it'd be great to hear from you as well, enjoying the music. Because it's not that easy to find a lot of this music on the air these days. I know you can access it via all the usual streaming channels if you want to, but not that many wireless programmes featuring it anymore, is there? Great shame. When you've got such great music as we feature here, from the likes, perhaps, of Paul Whiteman and his Pops concert. Marvellous stuff on that. You might recognise one of the voices singing La Paloma here. Pretty famous singer.
Thank you.
unmistakable sound of George Shearing Quintet. It's just unique, isn't it? It's just that whole sound with the vibes and no sort of horns going on. Fantastic stuff. Early version of that one with Marjorie Hyams on the vibes, George Shearing on piano, Chuck Wayne guitar, John Levy bass, and the great Denzel Best at the drums. Sorry, Wrong Rumba, following straight on from La Paloma, which was a version given there by Pops. Not Pops as in Louis, no, Pops as in Paul Whiteman and his concert orchestra from the late 1920s, that one. And again, another Pops. I think Louis became Pops as well around about the same time. But Paul Whiteman, also known as Pops, the colourful heavyweight and all-white master showman and king of fixers. Yeah, he was a very powerful figure in his day and very forward-thinking and experimental, despite the sort of idea of him just sort of standing there looking like a Oliver Hardy in front of an orchestra. During the early 20s, became the leading sophisticator of jazz and promoter of all things pop, as it was indeed at the time. This was the pop music of the era, of course, and by 27, he got several years of experimenting in this new style with his resident pianist arranger, Ferdi Groffé, who lived through until 1972, I note. Oh, I could have met him, couldn't I? Viewed from front of house, what this actually meant was classically scored orchestrations of up-tempo dance played by men in evening dress. Yeah, and that's what you see. You see the pictures, they're all there in their top hat, and, well, not top hats, but they're all in their tails, aren't they, and their tuxes, with Whiteman looking immaculate out front. But in Whiteman's hands, these latest tunes transformed into classics in jazz attire, which they were. A rare combination of raw jazz, metal and elite sophistication. And as it marks in the, or remarks in these Naxos liner notes, I think it's Naxos anyway, Whiteman's was never simply another bourgeois sweet white audience orchestra cashing in on black man's music, nor indeed when he started out in earnest was his quite the first white outfit to explicit and exploit the potentialities of jazz on a large scale. The original Dixieland Jazz Band sort of did that ahead of him, albeit they were quite a bit smaller, of course. But yeah, quite an experiment, and it did bear a remarkable resemblance to Oliver Hardy, it has to be said. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, go and look it up. You'll see. You will see what I mean. Yes, in the vocalese, by the way, on the pop concert, one of the singers, he did well if you got him, Bing Crosby, a young Bing Crosby, no less. A serenade from Giraldo now. It's a cheap one, though, because it's just a penny serenade.
Just a penny serenade. all that nice, so divine, she was mine, though no word had been spoken. When I woke from my dream, she was gone, and my poor heart was broken. Still I pray that wherever she may be, she will remember. In her heart, she will always hear my penny serenade. See, 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 that's my love song for the penny. Just a penny serenade, just a penny serenade, just a penny serenade.
A penny serenade, Geraldo, and of course the unmistakable sound of Al Bowley, giving us this one of those great crooners who sadly lost his life during the war, shortly after singing, I think, at a gig. And to finish off this evening, well, a man who, again, I'd love to have met. He has a great reputation of being a real gentleman, very thoughtful, a lovely guy, very imposing, 6'4", Ken Snake Hips Johnson. Started out as a dancer, hence the Snake Hips, went on to be a band leader. And he actually lost his life on the bandstand. They were actually playing, I think, the Café de Paris when a bomb fell with pretty much a direct hit. 30 people were killed in the incident, and unfortunately one of them was Ken. Still got his music around, though, happily, to remind us of the man and the music. Here he is, Tuxedo Junction.
Thank you.
Tuxedo Junction. Tuxedo Junction. Get there yet. Put your teeth in, H. Yeah, not Glenn Miller, but the great Ken Snakehips Johnson, native of British Guiana, highly educated and fronted an all-black band playing mainly swing music to great effect, as you heard there. And from all accounts, again, reading about him, a real gentleman as well, this imposing figure at the front of the bandstand. And sadly, not unusually perhaps, during World War II, just as he was coming to prominence and really making a name for himself, he lost his life as the band was literally playing. I think he was on the bandstand at the Café de Paris. Did that sound reckless? Well, people did get on with life, but also at the time the Café de Paris had a bit of a reputation for being a little bit sort of bomb-proof. It was down in the basement and people thought they would be safe, but actually there wasn't any great protection really with the roofs above them. It wasn't designed, obviously, to be a shelter. It was a club. And sadly, it was just bad luck, as a lot of things were during the war. And we lost an awful lot of people, of course, but let's hope it doesn't happen again. Brilliant player, though, and a man who left a lot of great music behind. Like so many we feature here, gone but never forgotten. And don't forget, we'll be back in a couple of weeks here with thoughts and music and memories, sweet and swing, whichever you like in between. Howard Kane at manxradio.com if you'd like to get in touch. Love to hear from you. Jumping in next week, give it a whiz if you fancy. If not, see you the week after that. Look after yourselves. Cheerio.